Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we take stacks of information, unpack them, and really pull out those key nuggets of knowledge so you walk away feeling truly well-informed. Today, we're diving into something absolutely vital for anyone in the professional world, especially if you're, say, a B2 level English learner wanting to sharpen those communication skills. This deep dive is all about business English vocabulary and expressions, and we're really pleased that the insights for today's discussion are provided by lingexam.com. We're going to explore how expressing your opinions, agreeing, even disagreeing politely, how all that can really transform your presence, your impact in business meetings.
That's exactly right. Our mission today really is to equip you with the practical language and strategies you need so you can actively participate, influence outcomes, and we'll really demonstrate your value in any professional setting. It's not just about knowing the words, you know, it's understanding how to use them effectively, diplomatically.
Right. Mastering the art of influence through language, you could say.
Precisely.
Okay, let's unpack this then. I mean, have you ever been in a meeting, had a brilliant idea, but maybe struggled a bit to get it across clearly? Or perhaps you weren't sure how to, you know, politely challenge a point you didn't quite agree with. Well, we're looking at some fantastic resources today focused on exactly those kinds of challenges. Why expressing opinions matters, how to do it clearly, professionally, and how to navigate disagreements to get to a productive consensus. So let's start right there. In the fast-paced world of business, why is mastering this stuff opinion sharing, agreement, disagreement, why is it so critical?
Oh, it's absolutely foundational. I mean, think about it. In any professional environment, your ability to state your view, agree, disagree respectfully, help the group find common ground. It isn't just nice to have. It's vital for success. Business meetings aren't just info dumps, are they?
No, definitely not.
They're for problem solving, making decisions, figuring out the best path forward together. If you can't articulate your perspective clearly, well, you can't fully contribute.
So it's really about becoming an influential voice, isn't it? Not just someone sitting on the sidelines. You want your ideas heard, considered.
Exactly. And for you, as a B2 level English learner, these skills are, well, they're transformative. They shift you from just understanding English to actively using it as a tool for influence. By the end of this deep dive, you'll know how to express opinions clearly, professionally, how to use what we call hedging language for diplomacy, agree politely, disagree politely, reach consensus, summarize discussions, but also, crucially, when and why to use these strategies for the biggest impact.
That sounds incredibly useful. Before we get into all the specific phrases, though, let's maybe quickly touch on some core concepts, some key terms we really need to grasp.
Good idea. Because sometimes a word you know generally takes on a specific nuance in a business context. Let's start with opinion. In business, your opinion isn't just a feeling. It's your considered view, your belief about something, often based on your expertise or analysis. It's different from just stating a fact. You might say, for example, in my opinion, we should invest more in digital marketing. That's a strategic viewpoint.
Okay, distinct from fact. Got it.
Then there's consensus.
Yeah.
Now, this isn't just everyone nodding along. It's about reaching a general agreement where everyone feels they can support the decision, even if maybe it wasn't their absolute first choice. It implies a kind of collective commitment, like when a team needs to reach a consensus before moving forward.
Right, a shared agreement to proceed. And what about hedging? I hear that term a lot in business, but it feels a bit slippery sometimes.
Ah, hedging. It's fascinating, actually. It's basically using language to soften your statements, to avoid sounding too strong or definite. It's not about being sneaky or evasive. It's usually about being polite or careful or, well, strategic. We'll get more into its power soon. But a simple example is saying we might want to consider a different supplier instead of just we must use a different supplier. See the difference?
Yeah, much softer, less demanding.
Exactly. And closely related is being diplomatic. That just means communicating in a way that doesn't upset or offend people, which is crucial, especially in diverse teams. And of course, to disagree is simply to have a different opinion. But how you do it diplomatically, that's the key thing we're focusing on. And finally, to summarize, just means to restate the most important points briefly. Super important for clarity at the end of a discussion.
Fantastic. Okay, with those definitions clear in our minds, let's dive into the practical side. When you have an idea, a perspective, how do you actually, you know, put it out there? Our sources mention both direct and more nuanced ways.
Right. So for those direct opinions, maybe when you feel really confident or your point is backed by solid data or experience, you can use phrases like, in my opinion, I think that, I believe that, from my point of view, A, as I see it, to my mind. or even the slightly more informal but very common if you ask me A. For instance, you could say, I think that this proposal will help us increase sales. Clear and direct. Or, from my point of view, the current plan is too ambitious. Now, ambitious here often suggests it's maybe aiming a bit too high, perhaps beyond what's realistic right now.
That makes sense. Being clear, unequivocal when the situation needs it. But, and this is where it gets really interesting and often trickier sometimes, being too direct can actually backfire, can't it? This is exactly where that hedging comes in as a strategic tool.
Absolutely. Hedging language isn't just about being polite, though that's part of it. It helps you soften opinions, make statements more diplomatic. It's especially useful in multicultural teams, or maybe during sensitive discussions. It shows respect for other people's ideas, creates space for dialogue. And beyond just politeness, hedging can sometimes buy you time, signal you're open to negotiation, or subtly guide a conversation without sounding like you're imposing your view.
So it's not just about being nice, it's actually about being smart strategically. What are some of those key hedging phrases we should have ready?
Well, there are quite a few. Offering different levels of softness. Think about using, it seems to me that, I would suggest that. Perhaps we could consider, it might be a good idea too. Mm-hmm. I tend to think that. Or even, we could possibly.
Okay.
For example, instead of, the timeline is too tight, you could say, it seems to me that our timeline is a bit too tight. It just softens the blow a little. Or perhaps we could consider a different approach. An approach here just means a way of dealing with something. It invites discussion rather than shutting it down.
But I have heard some people worry that too much hedging makes you sound uncertain or maybe indecisive. Is there a risk there?
That's a really valid point, yes. While hedging is common in professional English and super useful, overdoing it can make you sound less confident. The key is balance. You need to judge the situation. Use hedges when you want to gently introduce an idea, invite discussion, or navigate something sensitive. But when you are confident and your point is clear and needs to be stated firmly, then state it directly. It's about choosing the right tool for the job, you know.
That's a crucial distinction. Okay, moving on from expressing your own opinion, how do we show we're on the same page as someone else? Agreement. It builds team spirit, moves things forward.
Absolutely. And you can show different levels of agreement. For strong agreement, use phrases that leave no doubt. I completely agree. You're absolutely right. That's exactly how I see it. Or the very strong, I couldn't agree more.
Right.
Then there are phrases for mild or partial agreement. These are incredibly useful when you maybe agree with the core idea, but perhaps have a small reservation or want to add something. Like, I agree to a certain extent. Extent just means the degree or level. Others are, that makes sense to me. You have a point there. Or, that's a valid point. Valid meaning it's based on good reasons.
So instead of just nodding, you might actually say, I couldn't agree more with reviewing the pricing strategy. Or maybe that makes sense to me, especially given our resources, though I wonder if we could also consider X.
So you're agreeing, but adding nuance.
Exactly. It shows you're engaged and thinking critically.
All right. Now for what many find the trickiest part, disagreement. It happens.
Yeah.
It's often necessary for good decision making. But how you disagree, that makes all the difference, doesn't it?
It makes all the difference. Seriously. The absolute key is to stay respectful and constructive. Always, always try to acknowledge the other person's point first before you state your disagreement.
Oh, okay. Acknowledge first. Yes. It shows you've actually listened. You value their perspective. You're not just shooting down their idea instantly. Some really good polite disagreement phrases include, I see your point, but... I understand where you're coming from, however. I'm not sure I agree with that. Or maybe, with respect, I have a different view. I appreciate your input, but I have some reservations. Remember, reservation means a doubt or uncertainty, and input is their contribution. You could also say, I'm afraid I don't see it that way.
So instead of a blunt, you know, no, that's wrong, which just shuts things down, you might say, I see your point about the urgency and I appreciate that, but I think we might need a bit more information before we commit to that specific timeline.
Exactly. See how that shifts it. It's not a conflict anymore. It becomes a collaborative search for the best solution, acknowledging their point while raising your concern.
Makes perfect sense. Okay, so after all this discussion, expressing opinions, agreeing, disagreeing, the goal in many meetings is to reach consensus. What does that really mean in practice, and how do we get there?
Right, consensus. As we touched on, it isn't necessarily 100% unanimous agreement on every tiny detail. It means the group generally agrees on the overall decision or the path forward. Everyone feels they can support it, at least to a certain extent. It's about finding that common ground, that shared commitment.
Finding a way forward together.
Precisely. And there are phrases specifically for building consensus. They often involve checking understanding and inviting that final buy-in. Things like, so are we all in agreement on this? Does everyone agree with the proposal as it stands? Can we reach a consensus on this particular point? Or more collaboratively, let's try to find a solution that works for everyone. You could also ask, is everyone happy with this decision? Or a common one to finalize. If there are no objections, can we move forward? An objection is a reason for disagreeing, and move forward means proceed.
So you might say something like, okay, we've discussed the deadline. Can we reach a consensus on setting it for the end of next month, checking for that agreement?
Exactly. It's actively guiding the group towards a shared decision.
And once those decisions are made, how do we make sure everyone leaves the room on the same page, knowing exactly what happens next? Summarizing seems key here.
Oh, absolutely essential. Summarizing brings clarity and helps ensure accountability. You can use straightforward phrases like, to summarize, we've agreed to, or let me just recap the main points. Recap is just a shorter way of saying recapitulate, repeating the main points concisely.
Okay.
You could also say, in summary, our next steps are, or. So, just to sum up, we will, followed by the actions.
For example, to summarize, we've agreed to review the marketing proposal in detail and meet again next Tuesday to finalize the budget.
Perfect. Or, just to sum up, our main priorities for this quarter are improving customer feedback mechanisms and completing the market research, a priority being the most important thing. It ensures everyone remembers the focus.
This has all been incredibly insightful in theory. Now, let's try and bring it to life a bit more. See how these expressions actually work in a real conversation. The source material has some great little meeting dialogues. Maybe we can role play a few quick scenarios to really hear them in action.
Great idea. Yeah, let's do it. I can take on a few different roles.
Okay, fantastic. First up, let's imagine we're in a project review. I'll be the facilitator. You can be Anna and Clara. We're talking about extending a project deadline. Right, team, let's talk about the Q3 project deadline. We've had some feedback suggesting it's tight. Anna, your thoughts on extending it, expert speaker, as Anna. In my opinion, we definitely need to extend it. The current timeline is just, well, it's unrealistic given our current workload. Okay. Ben, do you agree with Anna? Expert speaker, as Ben. I agree completely. Yes, the team is really stretched thin right now. Clara, what's your perspective? Expert speaker, as Clara. Look, I see your point, both of you, I really do. But I'm just not sure we can afford a full extension without it seriously impacting our Q4 goals. We do have those commitments. Okay, valid concern. Anna, you mentioned something earlier about perhaps a phased approach. Expert speaker, as Anna. Yes, that's right. Perhaps we could consider a phased delivery. That might let us hit some key milestones sooner, you know, while still taking some pressure off the team. Okay, stop there. Excellent. So, what just happened? We heard Anna's direct opinion, in my opinion. Ben's strong agreement, I agree completely. Then Clara came in with that polite disagreement, crucially, starting with, I see your point, but, before stating her reservation. And then Anna used that brilliant hedging language, perhaps we could consider, to suggest a flexible solution. It invited discussion, didn't demand anything.
Exactly. Yeah. Notice how Clara, acknowledging the point first, I see your point, really changes the tone. It prevents it from feeling like an attack and shows respect. And Anna's perhaps just opens the door. It signals flexibility, willing just to find a compromise, which is so vital.
Okay, let's try another one. This time focusing on agreement, disagreement, and moving towards consensus. I'll be the manager. You can be Liam, Priya, and Oliver. We're discussing a new marketing strategy. Right, team, the new marketing strategy proposal. Any final thoughts on the digital campaign element? Liam, expert speaker, as Liam.
Yep, I completely agree with it. The focus on social media is absolutely spot on. That's where our audience lives these days. Okay, Priya, your view. Expert speaker, as Priya. I agree to a certain extent. I think the social media part is good, yes, but I also think we really need a strong email marketing component alongside it. It's still a vital channel, especially for our older demographic, right? Good point. And Oliver, expert speaker, as Oliver. Well, with respect, I actually have a slightly different view. I'm a bit concerned that going purely digital might mean we overlook a significant segment of our traditional customer base. Expert speaker, as Oliver. I tend to think a more balanced approach, maybe incorporating some targeted traditional advertising, would give us better immediate results. Interesting points from everyone. So, Liam, strong agreement.
Priya, partial agreement with an added dimension. And Oliver, respectful disagreement, raising a valid concern. So as the manager here, my role is now to try and bring this together. How can we find a solution that works for everyone? Perhaps we could look at a hybrid approach, one that really integrates that strong digital focus Liam and Priya highlighted, but also includes some targeted traditional elements to address Oliver's concern about our existing base. How does that sound as a starting point for consensus?
That's a perfect illustration. You as the manager didn't just pick a side or dismiss Oliver's concern. You acknowledged it. Interesting points, and actively tried to synthesize the different views into a potential solution everyone might be able to support. That's consensus building in action, guiding the team towards common ground.
Great. And one final mini scenario, summarizing. Let's say I'm the team lead, and you're just helping me confirm the recap at the end of the meeting. All right, team, I think that was a really productive discussion. Thanks, everyone. Let me just quickly recap our main decisions to make sure we're all clear. Expert speaker as team member. Sure thing. So to summarize, we've agreed to launch the new product in September. Expert speaker as team member. And Anna is going to lead the creative development while Ben takes charge of the technical build. Is that right? Perfect. Yes. Is everyone happy with that overall decision? Any objections? No. Great. So in summary, the immediate actions are Anna will prepare the initial design mockups by end of day Friday, and Ben will draft the core technical specifications by close of play Monday. Clear action points for everyone.
See how that recap worked? It was concise, clear, reiterated the main decision, assigned specific responsibilities, and set clear, immediate deadlines. It just ensures everyone leaves knowing exactly what was agreed and what happens next. Prevents those, "Oh, I thought you were doing that," moments later on.
These dialogues really do make it much clearer, don't they? It's one thing to know the phrases, another to hear them used. Now, we've covered a huge amount of ground, but it's really important to remember, isn't it, that effective communication isn't just about the words you choose. There's often a deeper layer.
Absolutely. A really crucial layer. Cultural background plays a massive role in how people give opinions, how they agree, how they disagree. In some cultures, for instance, direct disagreement is really avoided. People might use very indirect suggestions or even silence to signal they're not fully on board. In other cultures, robust, direct debate is perfectly normal, even expected. It's seen as a sign of engagement. So the key is always aim for clarity and respect, but also be really aware of nonverbal cues, tone of voice, body language. They often tell you as much, if not more, than the words themselves.
That's a great reminder. Be observant.
Yeah. And keeping things positive, even when there is disagreement, is also really helpful. Using phrases like, "That's an interesting perspective," even if you don't agree with it. Or suggesting, "Let's look at all the options," can help turn a potential conflict into more of a collaborative problem-solving exercise.
Good tips. And just quickly, for those listeners who are maybe comfortable with the basics and want to sound even more natural, perhaps more sophisticated, maybe at that B2 plus or even C1 level, are there any slightly more advanced expressions they could start incorporating?
Oh, definitely. There are always ways to add more nuance. For showing really strong support, you can move beyond "I completely agree" to something like "I fully support this idea," or maybe "there's a lot of merit in your suggestion."
Okay.
Merit meaning the value or good qualities. It sounds quite considered.
Okay, a lot of merit. I like that.
For cautious disagreement, which is often needed, you could try, "I see what you mean, of course, but there are perhaps a few points we might want to reconsider." Or, "While I understand the reasoning behind that, I am a little concerned about." These validate the other person first, then gently introduce your concern.
Very diplomatic.
And for compromise, when you're actively trying to find that middle way, maybe we can meet halfway on this is a classic. Or you could ask, "Is there perhaps some middle ground we could agree on here?" A compromise being that agreement where both sides give a little. Excellent for negotiations.
Fantastic. Wow, that really was a comprehensive deep dive into business English communication. We've covered so much. From the basic vocabulary and why it matters, through giving opinions, hedging, agreeing, disagreeing, reaching consensus, all the way to role-playing scenarios and touching on cultural nuances and those advanced phrases.
Indeed. And the key takeaway, really, is that expressing opinions, managing agreement and disagreement, these aren't just side skills. They're essential for every business professional. By consciously practicing these techniques, by listening actively, choosing your words strategically, you will speak up more confidently. You'll be able to support or challenge ideas diplomatically, help your teams make decisions more efficiently, and really build your reputation. Build it as a thoughtful, respectful, and ultimately influential communicator.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener, as you navigate your own professional path?
Well, I think the ultimate goal in business communication isn't necessarily always getting everyone to agree with you on every single point. That's often unrealistic. It's more about being able to move forward together, collectively, with the best possible solution. It's about using that right blend, the right mix of clarity, respect, and strategic language to become a truly effective, trusted voice within your professional community. Just imagine the impact your contributions could have when you master these subtleties.
We certainly hope this deep dive into business English vocabulary and expressions has given you some powerful, practical tools for your professional toolkit. Remember, this deep dive was provided by the experts at lingexam.com. For even more valuable content, practice exercises, and to continue your learning journey in business English, we really do encourage you to visit their website. That's lingexam.com. You'll find loads more resources there to help you master these vital communication skills. Thanks so much for joining us for the deep dive. Until next time.